Lord has got, I believe that the Lord has got some things that he wants to reveal to us and share with us today. I feel that way every Sunday, but I'm particularly excited about what the Lord's been saying to me this week, and so I'm really excited to get to share that with you. If you're joining us for the first time this Sunday, we have been, for the last several weeks, we've been in a series called Count the Stars, and we have been focusing in on the life of Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham, so you know, real big stuff there, so I don't want to get confused, but the life of Abram, and the reason we've been focusing on that is because because all throughout Scripture, right, the life of Abram is brought up as an example for us to follow in some really key areas. There are aspects of Abram aspects of his life and his journey that are things that the Bible tells us that we're supposed to try to emulate. And so we've been looking at the life of Abram and focusing on these characteristics like faith, characteristics like obedience, which we're going to get to later, but all these characteristics of Abram that we're supposed to kind of emulate in our lives. And so so we've been kind of picking through the story of Abram and really kind of focusing on some of those areas. And this morning, we're going to continue talking about all of that stuff. Amy and I, there's a couple of years ago, I think it was 2013, a movie came out, and it was called The Impossible, all right? And it's about this family that's on vacation, winter break in Thailand. They're together in Thailand on vacation, and they're hanging out together, having a wonderful vacation. And while they're there in Thailand on their vacation, having an amazing time, an unimaginable, unspeakable tragedy happens. I don't know if you guys remember, in December of 2004, a giant tsunami, an earthquake happened like out in the middle of the Indian Ocean out there, and a giant tsunami washed over almost all of India and Asia and Indonesia, and over 200,000 people died. And the movie is about this family who they're there all hanging out together, having a wonderful time. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, on a perfectly clear morning, right, this giant tsunami washes across the area where they are. They get separated from one another. And so this whole movie is about them working to survive and then working to find one another. And in the middle of this unspeakable tragedy, right, this horrific thing that happened, what drives them forward over through circumstances where many of us have been like, man, I don't even think I could get through that. I don't even know, you'd almost want to just lay down and give up, right? But what continues to drive them is hope. Hope that they will see one another again. Hope that they're going to get out of this situation and be able to be with their family again. And so they keep looking for each other. They keep pushing. They keep pursuing. I'm not going to give away the ending to you because you really should watch the movie. It's a pretty incredible movie. And it's based on a true story. But I just want to talk about hope this morning. Because the aspect of our lives that I believe that God wants for us to emulate Abram this morning in is hope. And who we're going to be talking about this morning, though, is not Abram, it's his wife, Sarah, okay? And so we're going to be focusing in on Sarah this morning and kind of looking at an interaction between her and the Lord from Genesis chapter 8, okay? So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 8. And while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you the first thing that we're going to be looking at this morning related to hope is a simple truth that we all need to hear this morning. And that is that God's purpose produces God's gift. Let me say that again. God's purpose produces God's gift. Now, if you have the Bible app on your phone, the YouVersion Bible app, just if you'll click on events, you can see First Baptist Church Shallow Water. Stonebridge, where I used to pastor. So First Baptist Shallow Water, you'll see it come up on there. You can click on that, and there's sermon notes and the scripture passages that we're going to be looking at. All that stuff is in there. And you can take notes. You can actually add notes and save them and everything else. So if you've got the Bible app, please, you can do that this morning. But for those of you who've turned to Genesis chapter 8 or found it on your phone, okay, let's look at verses 9 and 10 of Genesis chapter 8. Here's what the word of the Lord says for us this morning. Okay, now what's happened is Abram has invited some guests into his home. He found some, these guys were walking around. He noticed them. He saw them immediately as the Lord, right, who in the presence of God. He invited them into his house, showed hospitality to them. And so they've been eating with him and hanging out with him, right? The Lord, right? The Lord of hosts has been hanging out with Abram and eating dinner with him, okay? So that's amazing in and of itself. But while they're hanging out, right, the visitors, who are the Lord, right? The visitors ask, where is Sarah, your wife? She's inside the tent, Abraham replied. Then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. And so God gives this amazing promise to Abraham and to his wife, Sarah. Now look, this promise is nothing new, y'all. He's given Abraham this promise over and over again. He's told Abraham, and we've talked about it on this journey, right? He's told Abraham, your descendants are going to be as many as the stars. I'm going to use you and your descendants to do a mighty thing in creation and in the world. And all of the earth is going to be blessed because of you and your descendants. So this is not a new promise, right, that Abraham's hearing. He's heard this multiple times from the Lord. And so he's just repeating it to him. He's going to use Abraham's descendants to pour out a blessing on the whole world. Abraham and his family have been chosen by God for a special purpose. He's going to use them to produce the work of redemption that he's planned, right? So they have placed their hope in this promise. They heard this promise from the Lord. They placed their hope in this promise, right? They were working to believe this promise and live according to the promise. So that's what's going on right now in Abraham's life. And this, for you and I, what does this mean, right? What does this passage mean for us? Well, here's what I think it means. I think it means that our hope is bound up in God's activity. That what God is doing in the world, right? Our hope of the fulfillment of his promises is bound up in his activity, his plan, his purpose. And the reason for that is really important. God's gifts empower us to achieve God's purpose. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Because one of the problems that we run into in our lives is this. One of the problems is that we tend to become hyper-focused on God's gifts. God has promised to do things in our life. He's promised to give things to us, right? And we cling to those things. And we become hyper-focused on the gifts that God is trying to give us. But in doing that, right, sometimes we neglect God's purpose. We don't think about God's purpose. We're just focusing on God's gifts. And look, I don't need to tell you this. All you have to do is turn on the television, right, and flip to a couple of different stations where they have preachers on like 24 hours a day. You know what I mean? You'll hear preachers, pastors of churches that are proclaiming a message that seems to be hyper-focused on receiving the gifts from God, but really doesn't seem that interested at all in talking about God's purpose and God's activity. And if you and I don't remember that God's gifts are tied directly to God's purpose. And the reason God gives us gifts is to empower us to achieve the purpose that he's called us to. If you and I don't remember that, then we're going to get our priorities all out of whack. And that actually leads to deadly, devastating things in our lives. Abraham and Sarah had heard many times what God was going to do. A mighty work. That's what the Lord was going to do. But because they were hyper-focused on the gift, they heard from the Lord, I'm going to give you all of these descendants. And then they kept going on through their life. And the longer it went before God actually answered that gift, before he gave them that gift, before he answered, fulfilled that promise, right? The longer it went, they were so hyper-focused on the gift that they actually tried to produce the gift in their own strength. And so they did something that would never happen in our world today, right? Sarah's concubine, Hagar, right? They decide, well, if God's not going to give us a son, maybe God will give us a son through my servant lady, right? And so that happens, right? They actually have a son named Ishmael, right? And that thing, that Hagar-Ishmael thing, caused all kinds of grief and strife in Abram's family. And it was because they were so focused on the gift that when it wasn't happening, they tried to produce it in and of themselves. And it led to all kinds of heartache and all kinds of issues. And let me just say, I believe this morning there's someone here who has heard a promise from God, right? Who has heard that God was calling them to something. But you've gotten tired of waiting around for the Lord to fulfill whatever the promise is in your life that he's given you. And so you have gone out in your own strength and tried to produce that gift, to try to fulfill that promise on your own. And right now you're in the midst of the chaos that produces. That's not God's plan. If God's going to gift you, it's going to be so that he can use you to accomplish his purpose. And if we're not cultivating a heart that seeks after God's purpose, we're not going to be able to properly use God's gifts. Did you hear that? I mean, that's really, really important for you and I to understand this morning. We actually have to cultivate a heart that seeks after the purposes of God, that wants to be used to accomplish what God is trying to accomplish in this world. That's what was going on with Abraham and Sarah. God was going to give them a son. Why? Because through their descendants, God's redemption was going to be delivered to the world in the form of Jesus. He's going to bless all the nations through this gift that he was going to give to Abraham and Sarah. And because they lost sight of the reason for the gift, they almost missed the gift entirely. And I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. I want us to be living according to the purposes of God. So God repeats the promise to Abram and Sarah. It's the same promise that he's made to them countless times before. He repeats that promise to them. And then he says, this promise is finally going to come to fruition. It's about to get real, y'all. He puts a timetable on it. He's like, this same time next year, I'm going to come back. And guess what? Sarah's going to have a boy. She's going to have a son. So he's like, it's happening. It's happening. Finally, you've been waiting. Here it comes, right? It's happening. And then what happens is the same thing that happens to you and I. Because listen, when things get real, our doubts are revealed. Man, not just, that rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? When things get real, our doubts are revealed, right? That's what happens. When the Lord starts to work, when the Lord's promises start to come to fruition, that's when the doubts that are lurking in our hearts, that's when they show up. And so we have doubts. And sometimes we're working so hard to pretend like we don't have doubts, right? We are, right? We live in a state of denial, pretending like we don't have doubts. But then when the Lord starts to move, guess what? Here they come, right up to the surface. And so I want for you and I to talk honestly for a few seconds about doubt. But here, turn to Genesis 18, chapter 10, okay? I mean, chapter 18, verse 10, okay? Genesis chapter 18, verse 10. And so we're just going to look at the second half of that passage of verse 10. But so the Lord says all this stuff to Abraham. He's like, "Where's Sarah?" Well, she's back in the tent, and he's like, "I'm going to come, and you're going to have a son. It's about to happen, right?" And so Sarah, in verse 10, Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Okay, she's hanging out in the tent. So Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time. Okay, they were at least 40, right? They were very old. And so Sarah was long past the age of having children, right? Long past it. And so she heard the Lord say, this time next year, it's going to happen. You're going to have a son. And Sarah laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn out old woman like me enjoy such pleasure? Especially when my master, my husband, is also so old. Now, I just want to stop and point out that the Bible says that they were both really old, okay? But Sarah says, I can't have kids because Abraham is so old, man. I just want to point that out, okay? And I just want to say to all of you wives out there, come on, man, it takes two here, all right? Let's, you know, we got to work together, okay? But here's, that's what she says. She laughs silently, right? And so here's a truth that you and I need to learn. When things get real, our doubts are revealed. And the first thing we doubt is ourselves. The first thing we doubt is ourselves. Sarah's like, man, how could a worn out woman, how could a worn out old woman like me expect to have such pleasure? She doubted herself. There's no way she could live out this promise that God had for her. There's no way that this promise would ever come to fruition because of who she was, because of how old she was, because of these things that were going on in her body, right? So she's like, there's no way. She was doubting herself. There's no way that that could happen in me. And I just want to say, maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe God has made a promise to you. Maybe there's a calling on your life that God has placed. Maybe there's a purpose that you know the Lord of heaven's armies wants to accomplish in you. But you're saying to yourself, every time it comes up, right? Every time the Lord quickens your heart with whatever that promise is, what you say to yourself is, there's no way. There's no way I could do that. There's no way I could be that. Maybe that's where you're living today. And if you are, I want to say to you that listen, you're not alone. I mean, there are people in the Bible, when God begins to work, they doubted themselves. And I just want to say that there are tons of people sitting in this room who have been in that moment in their life. The Lord began to do something, and immediately they doubted themselves. The Lord could never accomplish that in me. There's no way God could do that in me. And let me just say this to you. Your pastor has been in that moment. I have been in moments where I have felt, I hear what you're saying, God, but I don't see how in the world you could accomplish that in me. Do you know me? Do you know my stuff, my baggage, my failures? Do you have any idea how badly I have messed things up? How in the world could you choose me to work through? Maybe that's where you are this morning, man. You're not alone. And I believe the Lord has something specific that he wants to say to you this morning. So we doubt ourselves, right? And what do we doubt? I mean, first of all, we doubt our capabilities. Here, Sarah's thinking, there's no way I can have kids. Why? Because I'm past the age of childbearing. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. It's been a long time since the kid thing was even in the picture, y'all. There's no way I could do that. I'm not capable of having kids. And she thought this way because she was looking at things. She saw herself through material eyes. She saw herself through the eyes of this world. She was looking at herself the way that the world viewed her. Okay? And I need to say this to you this morning because there are many of you this morning who are looking at yourself. You've fallen into the trap of viewing yourself the way the world views you. I think this is particularly true among young people. And if I could, maybe it's because I have daughters, but can I speak specifically to young ladies this morning? Can I speak specifically to you? Maybe it's because I have daughters, but I see so often young women who their first response, their first reaction when they view themselves or when they look at themselves is to point out all of the things that they believe are wrong with themselves. And I know some of you do this. I know you do. I know every morning you get up and you look in the mirror and you immediately begin to check off all the things that you believe are flawed or wrong. And listen, the Holy Spirit of God has a word for you this morning that you need to hear. Okay, but the first thing I need you to hear, before we go any further, I need you to hear that whole process where you look in the mirror and you begin to check off all of the things you believe are wrong with you, that whole process is a lie. I need you to hear that. It's a lie from the enemy that is meant to keep you from accomplishing what God has called you to do. And I want for you to begin to refute those lies every time they come up in your heart. That's the way the world looks. That's the way the world acts. The world, y'all, the world wants to focus on limitations. The world wants to remind us on the limitations of our strength. The world wants to tell us what we cannot do. That's what the world does. The world wants to focus on barriers. The world wants to focus on those things that will keep us from accomplishing. It wants to point them out. It wants to highlight them. The world looks at those things. The world focuses on weakness. The world focuses on the places where we are vulnerable, where we are weak, where we are not able, where our strength is not sufficient. That's the way the world works. That's the way the world acts. That's the way the world views you. And Sarah had fallen into the trap of viewing herself as the world viewed her. I'm too old. There's no way. Friends, I want to give you some truth today, and I need for you to hear this, and I want for you to write it down. Please remember this. Listen, I need you to understand that that may be the way the world views you. That may be the way the world acts, but listen to me. That is not the way that the God of heaven's armies views you. That is not the way the Lord of hosts views you. Rather than being focused on what we can't do, God is focused on what he is able to do in and through you. Do you hear me? When he sees you, he doesn't see limitations and barriers and weaknesses. When he sees you, he sees what his power can do in and through you. And you tell me, what is the Lord's power not able to accomplish this morning? Anything? Can you think of anything? I can't. What can the Lord not do? What can the Lord not do in and through you? Is there anything that you can't accomplish in his power and by the power of his great name? Is there anything? And so the time has come for you and I to stop looking in the mirror and seeing everything that's wrong. The time has come for you and I to look in the mirror and see the power of the Holy Spirit of God at work in us. The time has come for our eyes to be focused on Jesus Christ and on his sacrifice for you and I. What are we capable of? What are you capable of this morning? You want me to tell you? You want me to tell you what you're capable of this morning? Whatever God wants to do in you, that's what you're capable of. And let me just assure you, his dreams for your life, his plans for your life are so beautiful, they're so amazing, they're so big that there's no way you could even imagine it today. You hear that? You can't even tap into how beautiful the dreams are that God has for you. But we doubt, man. We doubt our capabilities. You know, one of my favorite shows, I love to watch, I just forgot the name of it, Chip and Joanna Gaines. You know what I'm talking about? What's the name of that show? Yeah. Fixer Upper. That's what it's called. And here's the reason it's called that. I love it. Raise your hand if you watch Chip and Joanna Gaines, a fixer. Yeah, that's what I thought. Everybody. I mean, if you're white and you're a Christian, you watch that show. That's just how it is. But here, let me tell you why I love that show. Because everybody in that show, what they do is they roll up to this house, and I'm looking at that house and I'm saying, man, I wouldn't let my dog live in that house. You know what I'm talking about? Like I'm looking at that house and I'm like, there is no way. That house is nasty. You know, it's disgusting. It's falling apart. And I don't understand what it is about Chip and Joanna Gaines, but they walk into that house and they're like, oh, this is going to be amazing. You know what I mean? That's what they're saying. We're just going to tear that wall out, and we're just going to tear that wall out. We're going to put some new floors in here, some shiplap on the wall. You know what I'm talking about? Because every house got to have some shiplap, right? And so they're just like, we're going to do all of this work. I can see it. I can see it in my eyes, you know, in my mind's eye. And then Joanna will sit down at that little computer, and she'll show people, like, the plan that they're doing. I'm like, man, what house are you looking at? You know, I don't even recognize that. And then at the end of the process, guess what? That house has become everything that they imagined and more. What she showed on the little computer, not even close to what the end product is. It's way better. It's way better. And part of that's because they put her high dollar furniture up in there. But I'm not going to get distracted by that. I'm just going to say, I'm just going to say that it's amazing. I love people like that. Do you know somebody like that? Do you know somebody like that? They can walk into an absolute disaster. And instead of seeing all the problems and all the frustrations and everything else that's going on, they see the potential. Don't you wish more coaches were like that? Don't you wish that? Don't you wish we had more teachers that thought like that, that acted like that's who they were? You know what I mean? Don't you wish we as parents were more like that? Praise be to God. That's who the Lord of hosts is. That's who our God is. He's not walking around your house going, I'm going to have to replace all the plumbing in here. You know what I mean? He's not doing that. He's not walking around with, look at all this rat droppings, and look at all this damage that's been done. What am I going to do with this place? I can't do anything. Let's just bulldoze this sucker. There's nothing we can do with this place. That's not what the Lord God of heaven's armies is saying. He's walking around in your heart and in your life going, I cannot wait to get started on this reno. It's going to be good. Demo day is going to be a lot of fun, okay? It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of things we got to tear up out of here, but what happens with this place at the end is going to be a thing of beauty. That's what God says about you. You can doubt your capabilities all you want, but that's not what the Lord says. We doubt our capabilities, and guess what else? We doubt our merits. I mean, did you catch what Sarah said? She was like, who am I? I don't even deserve to experience the pleasure of holding my newborn baby son. I don't even deserve that. And let me speak to you just really honestly for a moment right here. There are a lot of you this morning who God wants to bless you, man. He wants to work through you. He wants to use you to bring about his kingdom, to usher in his kingdom. He wants to use you. But you are like, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve to be treated like that. That's what Sarah thought. And the reason for that is because Sarah's identity was rooted in her own experience, her own circumstances, right? She believed, like many of us do, she believed that she simply was the sum of all of her experiences, all of her past failures. That's who she was. So she felt like you could add up all the terrible things that she had done, all the mistakes she had made in her life in the past. You could add all that up. That's who she was. And because of all the mistakes and everything that she'd done in her past, there's no way she deserved to be used by God to bless the nations. Are you kidding me? I don't even deserve to be able to hold a newborn baby. I don't even deserve to be able to hold a baby that's my own. That's what she thought. That's what she thought. Don't we think this way? Somebody here this morning, and if I asked you to raise your hand, you'd have to do it, right? I'm not going to ask you to do it. Somebody here this morning, you just don't believe that you deserve God's promise. You just don't believe that you deserve to be used by God to do anything in this world. And then when I'm telling you this right now, you're having an argument with me in your brain. You're like, Brad, I don't think you understand. I don't think you know what I've done. I don't think you understand how bad the mistake was that I made. It was bad. It was bad. I don't think you understand how I've been living my life, because it's been destructive. It's been terrible. It's been awful. I don't think you understand where I am. And let me say this to you as gently and as lovingly, but as honestly as I know how this morning. Yes, I do. I totally understand where you are. You want to know why? Because I have been there. I know what it's like to feel like I don't deserve for God to ever use me in any way ever again. I've been so stupid. I know what that feels like. And I just want to say to you this morning, if you're here this morning and you don't feel like you deserve the love of God, here's what I want to say. Praise Jesus. Praise God that you have arrived at that point, because you know what? There's not a single person sitting in this room who deserves the love of God. Not one. There's not one person in this room that deserves to be used by God to do anything. We are all failures. We have all messed up. Every person in this room has things in their past, y'all. Everyone. And we could all tell you stories that make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. This is not a room full of perfect people. And sometimes when people walk in here, they think, well, man, all these people look like they got it together. Why? Why do you think that? Because we lift our hands sometimes when we worship? Why do you think that? Because of the shirt we're wearing or the pants we're wearing? What is it that tells you that? There's not one person in here who's got it together. We all mess up. We have all been failures. And some of us have been dealing with that this week. Y'all, I just want to say, if you're here this morning and you feel like your life is a wreck, join the club, man. That's where we all are. But God's grace, God's love, God's purposes are bigger than all of that. And so when we feel like we're not capable, when we feel like we don't deserve it, then that means that we are right where the Lord God of hosts wants us to be, right where he can use us. And you need to hear, God's not scared of your past, y'all. God's not scared of your failure. He's not scared of your addiction. He's not scared of the failure of your marriage. He's not afraid. He's not afraid of the eating disorder or of the pornography addiction. He's not afraid of any of that. He can deliver you and heal you and forgive you for all of it. And he can use you in the name of his son Jesus. He can and he will. He can and he will. And I want you to hear that this morning. One of my favorite books when I was a kid is White Fang. Anybody ever read the book White Fang? It's an oldie. Jack London wrote it. But it's my favorite book. And the book is about this wolf dog, you know. And the wolf dog, he was wild, man. He was raised in the wild. And so he learned the law of the wild, which is eat or be eaten, right? Kill or be killed. And so he lived according to that truth, right? He lived like that. And then one day, after a whole lot of bad, awful stuff has happened to this wolf dog, right? Finally, he comes into the possession of a guy, a man who loves him and who like has him in his house and feeds him with his hands and cares for him and really pours love into his life, you know? And so this dog, this wolf dog, begins to change. And that this animal becomes something that it never would have ever become. You couldn't have imagined it would ever become that. And some of you like me, you like to watch those videos on Facebook of the rescue dogs. You know what I'm talking about? The dogs that get rescued, you know, and then they spend some, and they're all scared or they're all mean, you know, but then they get in a home with a family that loves them and they just totally transform and they're like, ha, you know, and they're running around playing and doing all the fun stuff. So I can't believe I just did that. Can I? If you're on the live stream this morning, I just want to say that I'm sorry that I just panted like a dog. But that's what happens, right? In the book, to White Fang, that's what happens to him. And y'all, the thing that Jack London, the point that Jack London was trying to make, Jack London believed that all of us had this intrinsic good inside of us that somehow love would unlock, right? And so we have this goodness inside of us. But if we're loved in the right way, that goodness can actually come out. I just want to say Jack London was wrong. Okay, that's not what Scripture says. Here's what Scripture says. Scripture says that it doesn't matter how mean or dirty or nasty, right, any of us is, the love of God can absolutely change us, can absolutely transform us into someone we never dreamed we could be. That's what the love of God says. And so I believe that some of you have been wrestling with that. You've been wrestling with that, and here's what I want to tell you. Listen to me. We become who grace tells us that we are if we believe. I'm going to say that again because some of you need to hear that. We become who grace tells us we are if we believe. Man, is that not good news? I'm not who this world tells me. I'm not who other people tell me I am when they look at me. I'm not even who I say that I am. I'm not even who my mind says I am. I am who God, the Lord of heaven's armies, in his love, I am who he tells me I am, period. That's who I am, and that's who you are. Praise be to God. Man, that's good news. But here's the thing. If all of these things are true, right, then in our attempts to characterize our doubt as focused on ourselves, we're wrong, y'all. We're wrong. Because our doubt, the person we really doubt is not us. It's God. We doubt God. Look at what it says in verse 13. The Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll return. I'm going to say it again. I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. I said it. Look, have you guys seen the interview? There's a basketball player named Kevin Durant. Anybody know who Kevin Durant is? Raise your hand if you know who Kevin Durant is. Okay, there's a bunch of people out there. Kevin Durant, famous basketball player, plays for Brooklyn, you know, blah, right? But he used to play for Oklahoma City. That's where he should have stayed, but he didn't. He's in Oakland. I mean, he's in Brooklyn. So Kevin Durant, there, he was doing an interview after a game that was pretty rough, a playoff game where the other team really got into him. And the reporters were questioning him. They were pressing him. They were like, hey, why didn't you shoot more? Why were you more aggressive? All this stuff, you know? And basically Kevin Durant's like, look, I can be aggressive. I can be aggressive anytime I want. I'm trying to get my teammates involved. But there's one part in the interview where he's like, man, I could be aggressive. I could score over that fool that's covering me anytime I want. I'm Kevin Durant. And then he looks over at this reporter and goes, you know who I am, right? That reporter's like, mm-hmm. He looks over at these people, you know who I am, right? They're like, oh yeah. I'm Kevin Durant, y'all. That's what he says. I feel like that's what the Lord's doing right in this passage. The Lord's like, hold up. Did I not just say you were going to have a son? Did I not just say that? Who do you think I am? I'm the Lord God of heaven's armies. Don't you forget my name. That's what he's saying, right? You know who I am. You know who I am. Quit thinking like that. Quit acting like that. When we doubt, the person we're really doubting is God. It's not ourselves. We want to pretend like that we're super humble or martyrs in some way. I just don't believe I could do it. Why? You know what you're saying? I don't believe God could do it. I don't believe he could do it. That's what we're saying. And friends, it's time to get that doubt out of our lives, man. It's time to put that down. And sometimes when the Lord's purposes start to come to fruition, we have a knee-jerk reaction of doubt, right? But we don't take time to examine that. One time I was playing Trivial Pursuit. Let me say something. If you want to get divorced, you should play Trivial Pursuit with your wife. That's what you have. Because here's what happened. Amy got a question wrong. She got a question wrong, and it was one that I knew, which is a miracle in and of itself. And when she got it wrong, the words that came out of my mouth, immediately, my knee-jerk reaction was, you mean you didn't know that? So let me just say, there are some things you should never say to your wife. Ever, gentlemen. Never say them. One of them is, you mean you didn't know that? So that didn't go over very well. Okay, I'm just going to point that out. Didn't go over very well. And what I want to say to you is that I needed to take some time to reflect on why I said that. Why did those words come flowing out of my mouth? You want to know what the reason was? I was a jerk. That's why. I was a jerk. I thought I was smarter than Amy. I thought I knew more than her. That was the knee-jerk reaction that I had that revealed something about my character. And what I needed was to have somebody be like, no, sir, right? No, sir. If that's really how you feel, you're going to have to straighten that out, right? And praise be to God, my wife did that in a really poignant way, okay? She let me know, Brad, that was a jerk move, okay? And it was. I needed to hear that. So some of us, when we doubt, right, when that doubt springs up in us, guys, we got to take time to understand what that is. That means we don't trust God. That's what it means. That means we don't believe God can do what he says he can do. But listen to what he said in this passage we just read. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything? The answer to that is no. Other place in scripture, I love this. He says, is my arm too short? Is my arm too short to reach down into your circumstances and do what I say I'm going to do? No, it's not. And God's purposes will be fulfilled in you and I, right? Because it's him doing it. All right, so let's just talk about it, y'all. In verse 15 of chapter 18, I love this, because Sarah denied it. She was like, she denied it, saying, I didn't laugh, but the Lord said, nah, you kind of did, you know? I mean, I heard you. Nobody else might have heard you, but I heard you. You laughed. Don't pretend like you didn't laugh, right? And the Lord just called her out for it. Just called her right out. But here's what I need for you to hear this morning. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this from the heart of your pastor. I love you. And I need you to hear these truths. Some of us have been living according to the lies of this world. And today's the day that we begin to understand what God's truth is for us. Are you ready? This is what's true. God has purposes for you. God has a plan for your life. That's the truth. Here's another one. God wants to empower you to accomplish those purposes. He wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit and give you divine power to fulfill the purposes that he has in your life. What he has said you will do, he will empower you to do. That's the truth. It doesn't matter whether you think you're strong enough. It doesn't matter whether you think you're good enough. It doesn't matter whether you think you can accomplish it. The answer is, of course you can't accomplish it. The Lord God of heaven's armies will accomplish it in you. Here's another truth. God wants to transform you into a vessel of his blessing. Did you hear that? God wants to use you. God wants to use your family. God wants to use you to bless all of the people around you for generations to come. That's the purposes of the Lord of Heaven's armies. The thing I'm about to say, though, is even better than that. Listen to this. God wants to shape you into a weapon that he will use to pierce the heart of darkness and evil in this world. All of God's power is directed into shaping you into someone that's going to destroy evil and bring about God's redemption. God wants to make you a hammer. God wants to make you a sword. God wants to make you a spear that he will use to wage war on the powers of darkness in this world. That's what God's going to do. That's what he is doing if we allow it. And then here's the last thing. Listen to this. God will do all of this because of God's power. Not because of your merit. Not because of your strength. Not because of anything that has to do with you. Because of God's power. That's why he's going to do it. To bring glory to his name. Praise God. So I hear what you're saying. You're saying, Brad, what am I supposed to do with all that? That's fun. That's pretty talk, right? How am I supposed to live that out? And so, look, there's a bunch of different ways. Some of you have been struggling with doubt and with shame for too long. And now it's time for you to declare today, I am who God says I am, period, right? It's time for you to declare that today. But here's a couple of things I want you to think through, and I want for you to confess these things over your life this week, okay? I want you to confess them every day. Confess these things over yourself every day. Here they are. The first thing is, I have hope because of your power that is at work in me today, okay? Repeat that after me. Are you ready? I have hope because of your power that is at work in me today. I want you to say it. I want you to believe it. Here's the next thing. I have hope because you are helping me accomplish the purposes that you have for me today. Okay? Read that with me. It's up there. Read it. Let's read it all together. You ready? I have hope because you are helping me accomplish the purposes that you have for me today. I want you to declare those truths over your life this week and let the truth of God seep down into your heart and see how that changes your actions, your beliefs, your view of yourself this week. Can we do that together? Is that okay? All right. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for our time of worship today. Thank you for the way that you love us, God. Thank you for what you see in us. We don't deserve that, Jesus. We don't deserve that at all, but you have loved us, God. You have called us. You have chosen us, and we're so grateful. Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you allow us to see ourselves the way that you see us? Give us